This is Kathy and Barb, hosts of the Two Boomer Babes Radio Hour. Today, we bring you one of our favorite conversations. To hear the full show and more anytime, visit twoboomerbabes.com. Hurricane Katrina was one of the five deadliest hurricanes to hit the United States. The hospitals were not prepared for the gravity of the storm. The conditions at Memorial Medical Center in New Orleans were critical. No electricity, intense heat, rising floodwaters, and unsanitary conditions. They were so desperate that more than 20 patients died after receiving lethal injections by healthcare professionals. To add insult to injury, there were false rumors that martial law had been imposed, which left hundreds of very sick people marooned at the hospital.
Sherry Fink is a physician and an investigative reporter who reconstructs the events in Memorial Medical Center and its aftermath in her book, 5 Days at Memorial. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
So, Sherry, set the scene for us. Can you sort of quickly take us through what was happening at Memorial Hospital when Katrina hit?
Sure. Memorial Medical Center was built originally in 1926. It was a community hospital that was very well regarded in the city. And in fact, it was a place where people came to weather the storms that would often head toward the city. But it was situated 3 feet below sea level in a city that we now know very well is like a bowl beneath the sea level. And when people came there, there were about 2,000 people who took shelter when the storm was approaching. And that was about 250 patients, but then a lot of their family members, staff, family members, even pets of the staff were allowed to come to help the staff be able to feel that they could come for the storm and not leave their pets behind. The hospital was on backup power. The city power had failed. And there was a vulnerability, which I've since learned is very common in American hospitals, which is that the backup power systems often aren't designed to run the air conditioning or the heating, in whichever case it may be. In this case, it was very hot. It was summer in New Orleans, so it quickly became hot. Well, then what really destroyed New Orleans was the flooding when the levees failed. That water reached the hospital about a day later, so they knew if the water raised to a certain point, they would lose all power. And so they quickly began trying to get people out. But with 250 patients, helicopters would arrive, but they were small. They could take one or two patients. So that first moral or ethical dilemma was, who do you save first when you know that all power is going to fail?
Well, Sherry, you talk about how the triage method at Memorial played a key role in the deaths of some patients. Can you tell us about that?
So very early on, when they were thinking about who to get out, they decided that they would take the babies in the neonatal ICU, these very sick babies who were fragile and dependent on electricity. They also got the intensive care unit adult patients out quickly because, again, for similar reasons. And they got some of the more ambulatory patients who could walk because they had a couple of National Guard trucks that showed up before the water got too high. But they also made this what turned out to be, you know, consequential decision at that point, which was to designate a certain group of patients who would go last. And they chose to designate the patients who had, quote, do not resuscitate orders to go last.
Okay, so how did the hospital reach that unimaginable point where healthcare professionals were actually euthanizing patients? I mean, how did they get to that point?
The power did fail. Basically, by that Thursday morning, there was a feeling among the staff that we wouldn't save everyone. Some people had started to die already. And that's when this discussion started happening. Well, at that point, they were euthanizing the pets. They didn't see a way that the pets would get out. Eventually, they were able to get them out on boats, but at that moment, they didn't see that.
Were there repercussions for the doctors or the nurses or whomever that intentionally euthanized patients?
Indeed, there were arrests of 3 healthcare providers, a doctor and 2 nurses, who insisted that they were innocent. They never said that they had intentionally hastened death. They insisted that they were innocent of murder, but they were arrested on accusations of second-degree murder. There was a grand jury process, and the public in New Orleans came out very much in favor of the health professionals. There was a dedicated public relations campaign on behalf of these healthcare providers that really spread the message, which was well received, which is these people stayed, they tried their best, and therefore we shouldn't put them in jail. And what kind of a message would that send to other health professionals who would work in disasters.
Have hospitals learned anything from this horrific experience? Are they any better prepared for disaster since Katrina?
We have a long way to go. This is recognized, and the federal government, in fact, just put out some proposals for new requirements for hospitals, nursing homes, other health providers to have emergency plans at all, because some of them didn't, and to strengthen the backup power systems, to really have an analysis of risks and hazards and how these organizations can do better.
Do you see big improvements happening?
I see that, unfortunately, the exact opposite is happening in terms of funding. The funds going to, particularly federal funds, there were some wonderful programs that have been initiated to help hospitals and nursing homes get there. And unfortunately, because of budget restrictions and choices, those funding programs have been cut and cut and cut every year. And the problem with preparedness is you can't just make an investment and then say, okay, we've funded them for, you know, to have more portable ventilators and that's it. No, you know, preparedness is an ongoing process. You always have to be preparing. You always have to be training your staff. If you don't practice something, then you can't do it in an emergency. It's just like a sport. You got to practice before you perform. And we need to think about the consequences. This is why I wrote 5 Days at Memorial. If you walk through those 5 days in that hospital, you will understand the stakes if we don't invest more in preparedness. And so that's really the message.
Dr. Sherry Fink, author of 5 Days at Memorial, thank you so much for speaking with the two Boomer Babes.
Thank you, Boomer Babes.
Check out this story and listen to the Two Boomer Babes Radio Hour anytime
at twoboomerbabes.com.